Okay, perfect. So I'm really glad to join you. I wish I were there in person. And I'm also glad to be the last person coming in. To be the last to speak, because on the one hand, you can rip off everybody else. I also thought the same thing. I just think for good ideas and become yours. But I won't do that. You could also decide to play cleanup crew and basically try to see what was left off. But I think all the presenters covered most of the bases, so I really don't have anything to clean up. And so the only task that is possible for me would be to try to tie all this together, try somehow to bring all of this conversation to sort of synthetic close. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to give you some kind of bottom line understanding of where I think we stand in the debates on how family planning can or has contributed to the goals of equal and sustainable development. And so I have to acknowledge that in addition to the difficulty with technology, I face sort of one basic challenge that I find hard to resolve. As I was thinking about these remarks, I thought I was placed in a position of someone who has to speak to the choir, not even the choir, to the conductors of everybody in this room, and certainly the panelists have read, heard, or even written about every single thing I can see here today. So instead of trying to preach to the choir, I decided to do something else. I tried to have invite the choir to reflect on how it is heard from the people. That is how together, how can the collective choir that we represent here today craft a message that is both accurate, but also relevant to people who are supposed to listen to this message. And so my main thesis is that one way in which we get at this kind of messages is basically moving from what I call a laundry list to a bottom line. So I can see the PowerPoint, but I would just sort of move, ask Ben to move to the next slide. So let me try to say what I mean by this. You know, just moving the tagline, which is moving from the laundry list to the bottom line. What I have to say, if I can summarize the point that I'm trying to make there, is holds in 3 points. The first point is that a lot of the advocacy of family planning has been built around establishing long lists of the many ways in which family planning can be relevant. And there's a lot of good about laundry list, and I'm going to discuss some of these laundry lists. But at the same time, laundry lists can become a problem. They're not clear, synthetic, and integrative. And so what I suggest is that we think more and more about bottom lines, and I suggest 4 bottom lines that actually also correspond to 4 strategic audiences that we may want to reach. The first bottom line is what I would call a financial bottom line. And I think 2 of the speakers have already addressed this bottom line. A second bottom line is what I may call the equity bottom line. Next. And the financial bottom line is basically directed to people who are planners, a technocratic audience, including finance minister. The equity bottom line is one that is going to be relevant to people who are more concerned about questions of equality and social justice. Next. The next bottom line is about durability and sustainability. And so here you have get the attention of people who want to take a long-term view and who want to think how their country is going to look a few half a century, full century down the line. And then the final bottom line that I would suggest we pay attention to is the demand. The question has been often raised, is there really a demand for family planning services? And my answer here is that there's actually a demand, especially if you begin to return to what I think is the fuller and literal understanding of what family planning is. I would argue that if we take the position that family planning is not just about planning birth, then there's a tremendous demand currently among the youth of Africa. And I'm going to show you a picture that basically is a slight indication of what I'm talking about. So this is basically what I'm going to say, and I'm just going to take you through these 3 points and take them one at a time. Next. Next slide. And so this is an example of a laundry list, which Rhonda Smith and all the folks at PRB are going to recognize. And this is just a list on the health benefits of family planning. So you can see that if we took not just health, but also education, equity, poverty, gender, the list of benefits is going to just increase exponentially. And so it's very nice to have this. Next, there are many benefits from having a very extensive list, because this draws attention to the many, many benefits, the many dimensions, the many ways in which family planning can be effective or useful. But next, it's also a risk. The risk is that what I may call sort of the spaghetti against the wall problem, which is to say, you know, if we just throw all of these arguments to the audience, then it's really hard to anticipate what it is that they're going to see, what it is that they're going to remember, and what they're going to get from their our messaging. Next. And so instead of, or rather in addition to the laundry list, I'd suggest we pay attention to sort of a few targeted bottom lines. And I'm going to just run you through a few of the bottom lines that I had in mind and giving you a little bit more detail. These are the bottom lines I had in mind. And we can start with the very first, which I'm not going to spend a lot of time on. And you had an example of this, for instance, the PRB in its population, family planning, saving lives, sort of classic, takes people through the savings that they're going to achieve with each dollar that is invested in family planning. And so from the standpoint of a planner or financial person, you know, just this bottom line is enough to convey the message. You just get the point, and then you can return to the detail later, but you just see what the savings are. Similarly, Marlene's presentation on the dividend did an equally good job in thinking about the benefit in terms of physical space, in terms of growth that you can achieve if you invest in family planning. So focusing on the financial bottom line for this particular audience, for me, is going to be more effective from a communication standpoint. A second bottom line, next, is what I call the equity bottom line. And which is of concern for those who are interested in the distribution of the benefits of family planning, the distribution of the benefits from dividends. And as Marlene said, the benefits from dividends are far from automatic. They're not automatic because you have what I call, next, a perfect storm of inequality. You have three fundamental sources of inequality that really come together. Inequalities within family in terms of the fertility level, and this is what the chart on the left is supposed to represent. But you add this fertility inequality to massive income inequalities that are actually underestimated in the case of Africa. And you also have inequality in family structure, meaning not only just this adverse family structure, but also families in which mothers have relatively little control over how money is spent. So the accumulation of all this inequality translates next into very large inequality among children. And next, they would lead to even wider, larger inequalities in the next generation. And so the picture to me and to those who are interested in or concerned about inequality is not rosy, and family planning can play a very, very important role in breaking this intergenerational cycle in the reproduction of inequality. The third argument, next, is what is I call the durability, sustainability argument. And the idea here, I wish I could see the PowerPoint, the idea here is that the effect of the benefits from family planning, especially if you think about the dividend, the benefit that are generated from the dividend, are not short-term. They can actually, if they materialize, they can expand over a long period of time. You have a cascade or potential succession of three different dividends, the first being what is called the first dividend, that can be a short-term, next. Then you have, next, a second dividend, that is the result of the spending of the first generation that reaches retirement, having spent enough to provide for themselves and maybe consume, leads you to a second dividend. And then next, you have a version of the third dividend, which is related to the investment that Marilyn talked about in the human capital of the early childhood development of the current generation of children. And so the piling or the succession of these three dividends means that you can actually start a process that is going to be sustained in a relatively long term. And for those who are interested, who have a long-term vision, this is a very appealing possibility. The final bottom line, which I would suggest we pay attention, is the demand. And again, the question is whether there's a demand for family planning. And my short answer is that there is actually a very large demand for family planning among youth. If we return to the full meaning of family planning, which is not about just planning birth, but about planning lives and planning families. And planning families, especially for youth, African youth today, who are very concerned about their future, is to think about how they plan their transition into the world of work, what kind of skills they need to have additionally, how to build connections, how to maintain their skills, how to market themselves, et cetera, how to build leadership qualities, entrepreneurship, et cetera. So there's room there to incorporate family planning in a large vision, which is concerned about planning futures, planning families literally, and planning lives. And so I end with this picture that was taken actually last week. Is part of the project. Next, final picture. This is a picture that I took, that was taken last week in Cameroon as part of a project that is funded by the State Department on the youth bulge in Sub-Saharan Africa. And so as part of this project, we give about 100 youth the opportunity to participate in a summer internship to learn precisely these planning skills, including family planning, but many other things about budgeting, leadership, communication, et cetera, just a wide range of skills. And we were literally mobbed. You know, there was such a high demand for this kind of training that we had to set up a very rigorous selection procedure process. And so to me, it was a clear indication that among these youth, there's a great concern, there's a great commitment about thinking, planning for their future. And family planning is part of it, but it's not the entire picture. And so if we really want to raise the visibility, the demand, and the response, we have to come closer to embracing this broader vision that the youth share. And so I'll stop there.